primary motivation in work was the pursuit of more money, even if they already had enough to live on.
First, I might present the scientific evidence that you are referring to, showing that great wealth doesn't automatically result in happiness. Of course, people must decide for themselves how much money they need. But if they were very affluent and asked my advice, I might explain how if people share wealth, they will be happier. More friends, better reputation, positive legacy, even less regret when they die. They can say to themselves, at least I use my money to help others.
The Dalai Lama thought for a while.
Another thing, I would suggest that they simply pause and reflect upon the whole process of wealth creation. If they equate money with happiness, then they become engaged in this continuous cycle of wealth creation, even after becoming wealthy. They keep chasing after this elusive dream. They expand their involvement. They go after more. The more wealthy they become, the more problems they become vulnerable to. That's inevitable. So one really hasn't achieved the kind of happiness and freedom one is seeking. Just the opposite. One is now a slave to money, in even greater bondage than at the beginning. And if one has not examined the underlying assumptions about what money will genuinely supply, then I've noticed that no matter how much money they make, no matter how high their salary is, there is still a kind of nagging worry about not having enough money. This is because the more money they make, the more lavish and expensive their lifestyle becomes, and then, of course, their expenses increase accordingly. There can be two main approaches of trying to reduce that worry. The first is to make more money, but as I mentioned, it is questionable whether this would be effective. The second is to reduce one's expenses, to deliberately have more modest desires. I think that is best, more sensible. So it would be helpful to take just a moment to ask, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And then see whether all this money is really necessary, whether the activities are really beneficial. That simple act of reflecting, the simple act of pausing to consider, to reason, can have an impact. So I feel that the critical issue is to ask, what is my basic outlook on life? If the basic outlook on life is directed outwardly, externally oriented, and your basic assumption is yes, happiness comes from outside, by external means, through the creation of wealth, then you end up perpetuating this cycle. If your basic outlook on life is yes, money is important, but there are also other factors equally or probably more important for one's sense of well-being, then I think you will lead a happier life.
So, do you really think that would be a convincing argument, enough to get a person to change their outlook?
Now that's hard to say. Even the Buddha wasn't able to change everyone's mind.
It was time for our customary afternoon tea break. And while we were drinking tea, one of the Dalai Lama's staff entered to relay a message. While they were speaking, I had a chance to think more about what he had been saying. Like many others in our consumer-driven society, I rarely took any time to reflect on my underlying assumptions and beliefs about money and the happiness that it will bring. But it didn't take in-depth analysis to recognize the validity of his views. I could easily think of many examples of how the endless pursuit of wealth served to add layer upon layer of complexity to one's life. Among my wealthier friends, I could readily see the exponential rise in the complexity of their lives the richer they became. One couple immediately came to mind. They were both highly paid professionals, and they were thrilled when their income level finally rose to the point where they could afford their dream vacation beach home. With great anticipation, they looked forward to sipping piña coladas on their deck while watching the sunset over the ocean. Their fervor cooled a bit, however, as they became bogged down in lengthy negotiations, endless paperwork, and mortgage forms. When the transactions were complete, then came extensive renovation, followed by the inevitable arguments with the contractor due to escalating costs and construction delays. Then, furnishing and decorating, far more costly than they had imagined. By now, their excitement had diminished considerably. Their enthusiasm was revived for a brief period when they were finally able